It's because it's 9:30. It's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
I've got my apron on.
You are so ready. I'm very happy to see you this morning.
Yay.
So nice welcome to Food Talk, everybody. You know, every first and third Monday, I come to the station here a little early, and Kate Brister, who is our staff person and our news person, always says to me, "What are you talking about this morning?"
Yeah.
And I'm always having to say, "I have no idea." She actually thinks we might prepare for this show, people who have a chance to listen to it know that that's not, that's not in the cards.
My name should be Ramblin' Rose. But not Apron Linda, which actually isn't very catchy.
It's not. We need to think about that.
Yeah.
So I usually am curious to start with about what you may have been cooking lately.
You know, I cooked a bunch of stuff since I saw you last, but there's no like underlying order to it, or it doesn't make sense together. Do you know what I mean? Do you ever just
random cooking?
Exactly. Like cauliflower salad and then hard-boiled egg mayonnaise. You know, I mean, just there's no
hard-boiled egg mayonnaise. Talk a minute.
Well, centuries ago, I worked in a French restaurant, and on Thursdays we used to have this cold poached salmon platter, and it was really nice, especially in the summer. You know, it was just really nice. But they made this French mayonnaise sauce thing out of hard boiled eggs instead of raw eggs, and I think it's because, you know, it would get really hot out on the patio, and I think they just didn't want a raw egg mayonnaise. And it's called Grebisch, and it's like one of those like I'm trying to think of like something in America would be like aspic, you know, just something super old timey and weird, you know, but it's good. And so I went to the store and I bought some eggs, and I got home and I already had a whole bunch of eggs. And I'm like, oh, well, what happened here? And so I'll just hard boil some. And then it was just peeling the hard boiled eggs just made me go back 30 years to that sauce. And so it tastes a lot like egg salad.
Uh-huh.
But there's stuff in it that, like, well, I really, really like tarragon, and I had some fresh tarragon in the house.
Tarragon really, really likes eggs.
Yeah. And so that made me think I could do it. And it has cornichon, those little tiny pickles, and it has capers. And when you really make it, you force the egg yolks through a sieve so that they get kind of, you know, they're all broken up, but they're kind of like that sandy texture.
Uh-huh.
And then you whip olive oil into it and, you know, some mustard and a little bit of vinegar. But I put a recipe, or I sent you a recipe to put on the food website. And it's just a really easy one where you just mix some, you know, finely chopped hard-boiled eggs and all that other stuff into some mayonnaise. And it's just a really easy way to make it.
It sounds delicious. And when you say Grebisch, I know I've heard of that, and I've eaten that.
Yeah.
I just have never made that, and I didn't know it was hard-boiled egg mayonnaise.
That's pretty much what it is, except for the easy thing that I made.
We love the easy things.
Yeah, I ended up somehow with just this surfeit of cauliflower. I had four giant heads of cauliflower. So I made some cauliflower soup, and then the Grebisch, I just think it's really good with cauliflower, and that was one reason I made it. It's just really good to dip in there. And then, also decades ago, I guess this is the Apron Linda decades ago, you know, 2 weeks of cooking, there was this restaurant in Minnesota. It was called Tequila Berries. Ooh, doesn't that sound like it's from the 80s? And it was.
And is there such a thing?
No, they made it up. Kind of like there is no Fuddrucker and the same, you know, era. So they had this salad that they were famous for, and it was a cauliflower salad. And so it's a very simple salad, but it's really good. And it's something different. So, I got some food magazine, and it had a little insert that was 50 summer salads. And I'm like, I'm going to make them all. You know how you get those things?
Yes.
And I haven't talked about it on the radio because, without exception, they have all been disappointments. I mean, I just keep making them. It's like, I don't learn, you know? I'm like, well, and I do them two at a time. And I'm like, well, here's two more that, you know, I'm like,
knocking them down, though. You're completing the project, and that counts for something.
No, I'm not. I don't even think I'm to 10, and I'm giving up because everything just tastes like I just put mayonnaise on Wonder Bread. I mean, they're just not good.
You know, those little inserty sort of pamphlety things are without exception disappointing.
You know, it's true. Why don't I learn?
Well, I why don't they learn? I mean, seriously, that is such a dirty trick. Anyway, I mean, it's a waste of good ingredients. So boo on that. Anyway, but...
Okay, so this salad, you know how sometimes things are just greater than the sum of their parts? And this is true with the salad. So what it is, and the recipe's hopefully up on the food website, it's just chopped lettuce and chopped cauliflower and some Parmesan cheese and bacon, crumbled bacon.
Ooh.
So four things. And then you make a dressing that is mayonnaise and sugar and vinegar. That's pretty easy. And then you just mix them together. And they're pretty, you know, insistent that you mix them together right before you eat it. But if you use a sturdy lettuce, like not iceberg, something that's going to wilt, but if you use like just a, you know, something that looks like it came out of the ground this week type romaine, you know, good sturdy lettuce, you know, it's fine even the next day. But when I make it, I make the salad and the dressing separate, and I do combine them pretty soon. But it's just really good. And the I guess the key is, and we don't think about this a lot in America, is texture.
Uh-huh.
Because if you had big honking pieces of lettuce and big honking pieces of cauliflower, it wouldn't work. But you cut the cauliflower, you set the head down, and you slice it into like maybe quarter inch, maybe a third of an inch steaks. You know how they call cauliflower steaks?
The big
cross sections that look like MRIs of the brain.
Yes.
and then same thing, you just dice it into either like quarter inch, third of an inch, but little pieces. So you just... You don't have to make them all perfect or anything, but you just really run your knife through it. And same thing with the lettuce. You really chop it up. You don't tear it into pieces. You chop it up. And so everything is really small. And it's really a good salad. And I hadn't made it in at least 10 years. And it was just really, really, it was nice. And it wasn't just that it's nostalgic. You know, who is it? Nigella Lawson. She has this thing that that she loves, which is... white bread soaked in milk with a little bit of sugar. And she's always like, oh, but you have to eat it in bed. And you just know it's just something from her childhood. And it's just like how I like Kraft macaroni and cheese. It's what my mom fed me, you know. It's, you have that memory, but nah, it doesn't transfer. But it's not one of those things that doesn't transfer. It is good.
It is really good.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, I am a fan of salads that will stay on your fork.
Yeah.
And that I like that kind of salad where you can actually eat it without either cramming like a giant chunk of torn lettuce into your mouth where it's sticking out on both sides and the person
and you have
across
to, like,
from
apply
you.
Apply suction from the inside, which is not beautiful to get it in
it's
your
not
mouth.
A good date meal.
No.
or, you know, it's like stuck to the front of your shirt because it won't stay on your. So when I get served a torn lettuce or a whole leaf Caesar, I just pick it up in my hands and eat it.
Yeah, and I think even etiquette says that that's okay. But they say, you know, you eat with your eyes, and certainly this just looks like a bowl of mush, but it's really good. but with salads, so often people do that. They make these beautiful composed things that are every bit a still life as much as a salad, but then you go to eat it and you're like, oh.
Uh-huh. Exactly. How should I go about
this?
I know.
This isn't going to be pretty.
Well, hey, so I have a question for you.
Okay.
Leftover... chicken, like cooked chicken leftover, favorite things
for leftover chickens. I make like enchiladas or quesadillas a lot.
Clubs, BLT clubs.
Oh,
with
that's
chicken.
A really good
that's
idea.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah. And wow, I'm just blanking. Because the reason I'm blanking is so often when I have leftover chicken, I just throw everything into the rice cooker with rice and water, and then I make dog food.
Oh, there you go.
So that's what's in the front of my brain, because anytime I have chicken, I'm so embarrassed that that's just what I do. And then so often just chicken, I'll just heat it up, and I've got usually I have rice in the fridge, and we'll just have chicken and rice and then some vegetable on the side, and I'll just, you know, cut what's left off of it. And then if it's left over, if it's a thigh or a leg, you know, Dale will just be standing at the refrigerator gnawing on it.
Well, actually, that is the number one best use.
What do you do with it?
Chicken.
What do you do with leftover
well,
chicken?
Well, I actually have a thigh and a leg, and I guess what I really should do is just invite Dale over.
Yes.
because it's really good locally grown chicken, and the recipe I used, it was Andy's recipe. It was excellent, and it was fabulous, but it was more than I had left over.
You know, what I do, I guess, a lot, too, is, and it just fell in my brain because of the dog food, is the Chinese chicken salad.
Oh, man.
So then whether I have cabbage or lettuce, it doesn't matter. Just you know, with a quick sesame dressing. I think that is probably the thing that I do the most.
That is a really good thing to do.
Yeah, and it's probably when always, and not without exception, but I try to, because I just don't want to be wasteful. You know, you want to have respect for the work it took to grow the food, you know,
yes.
Respect for the farmer, respect for the earth and everything. You try to use everything. I try so hard always to boil up the carcass, you know, for chicken stock. And so right before I do it, then I pick it all off, and that's what's left. And that's when we'll have the salad or dog food.
It's a toss-up.
Oh, dear.
Well, speaking of not wasting, I ended up, as a surprise, with 3 flats of Hood strawberries that I had planned to use for something and then couldn't use them for that. And
well, I can think of a lot worse surprises
had. It was great. It's just that they were in the fridge.
Yeah.
And that takes up a lot of room in the fridge.
Yeah.
So, thanks to your advice yesterday, I texted or emailed Linda and said, can I freeze these things and make jam later? And you said, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Because they do get mushy, but who cares? You're making jam.
Yeah.
But in the process of all of that, I realized that my refrigerator was out of control.
What do you mean? Did it freeze them?
No, I mean it was full of crapola. I didn't even know what was in there. You know what I mean?
You needed to do the excavation.
I did. I had an archaeological dig in my kitchen yesterday, and I did get rid of like the pint jar with 1 green olive in the bottom, and... Oh, my God. What the heck?
I had 6, but they were desiccated because for some reason I'd poured the juice off because I thought that was a good idea.
And left the big jar.
We're leading parallel lives.
Oh, my God. So, yes, I am totally understanding of wanting to respect the food, especially when we have when we have access to such good local food, mm-hmm. and we know who grew it, and we know who raised it, and we know who foraged it, and we know who went out in their boat and caught it. And I don't want to waste that stuff. But, you know, a tablespoon of mayonnaise in the bottom of a jar. I mean, a mm-hmm. mustard in the bottom of a jar when you have like 3 other kinds of mustard mm-hmm. in there. Really, they had to go. I ended up with pretty much a dishwasher full of jars to wash yesterday because I cleaned out my fridge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm lucky just because I have dogs. And so I can pretend that I'm super efficient, you know, and that I don't waste stuff. But really, I'm just tossing it to the dogs. You know, I'm like, look, you guys, blueberry muffins and mushrooms, you know, and they're like, yay.
Well, those 2 things are I don't have a recipe. Hooray for the dogs. I have dogs, too, but they don't get anything that's people food because they're such little beggars.
Okay.
So they don't get any people food, so they're completely useless when it comes to that sort of thing. So anyway, I try to be careful, but every once in a while you just got to clean out the fridge.
Yep.
That's all there is to it. Yep. And there is something remarkably liberating about opening a fridge and having everything be clean, like all the little hydrator drawers are washed, and now I just really don't want to.
And there's bare space.
Yeah. Well, not so much, but everything's good.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're kind of transitioning out of local strawberry season a little bit, thanks to torrential rains.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And into stone fruits, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah.
One of the only things better than strawberry shortcake is peach shortcake.
Yeah.
So.
Exciting. Peaches and nectarines.
Oh, man. And apricots and plums of all sorts. Ooh, those Italian plums.
Hey, do you know that the New York Times, and I do like the New York Times, their recipes. I mean, I think that they're well tested, and if it's something that I'm going to like, it turns out it's not.
They have a website, a cooking
thing. Yeah. And, you know, they always have once a week, you know, the food section. And anyway, so, okay, what was I going to say? Oh, their most requested recipe of all time is a plum cake. And
really?
Yeah, it's an Italian plum cake, I guess.
Oh yeah, see those, that's all the difference.
And
right,
it's I mean, they'll come later in the fall.
Yeah.
But I've never made it, and I'm going to make it this year. I know you can make it with blueberries, but the woman whose recipe it is says it just really doesn't work with the plums that we're going to get here real soon. But the Italian fall plums, I'm going to make it.
They're
but, yeah.
so worth waiting for, those plums.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're called prunes. They're the oval ones.
Like the black blue
yeah.
ones. Yeah.
With that, they look kind of powdery on the outside.
Yeah, yeah, that's the perfect word.
And they are oblong and smaller than the big plum, like the Santa Rosa plums that
yeah.
we get now,
yeah.
which are also quite delectable. Those Italian plums are just, I would love to make a plum cake, but I have never had any last long enough to make into anything.
You have to buy extra.
It's like the strawberries. Yeah, I yesterday.
But it is really something that's their most requested recipe
it
ever.
It is very unlikely to
me. Yeah. Because they're here for such a short time. Okay.
Yeah.
So strawberries.
Oh, strawberries.
You must have been cleaning for a day.
Yeah. Tom and I had we listened to a book on tape and turned red from the wrists down and got them all into Ziplocs and into the freezer. So that's good. I'll make some freezer jam when I have a minute and hooray. We'll have that fresh strawberry taste all year long.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy about that. And because I had three flats, we were able to, you know, like, eat ridiculous amounts of strawberries and still have some left.
It's like how I Christmas shop, one for them, two for me, one for them, two for me.
Hey, that's a great philosophy.
Christmas shopping and berry freezing.
It makes gift shopping so much easier if you know you're going to get two. You don't even have to go, what am I going to get them? Because you know what you need, know what you want. Have you eaten out lately?
I am trying to think. No, not really. We went to Panda Express. Woohoo! How about you? Where have you been?
Well, we ate Thai the other night, and that was nice. But you know, I gotta say that we haven't eaten out other than getting something to go for a while.
I heard that Jonathan, his last name starts with H. What's his
Hoffman.
Name? Yeah, that his place opened down in Seaside yesterday.
Yes, I read that too.
And,
so we have new places to try.
Yeah, Dodo, I think it's called.
Dodo,
it's kind of
yeah.
right by the bookstore there in Seaside.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Diane went and she said that she had an out-of-this-world salmon croissant.
Okay. So I think that whenever anything new opens in our collective neighborhoods, we should all go as a show of support, even if it isn't something that you would normally want to do. I just think we should support local owner-operated businesses in general. So think about that when you shop. Think about that when you eat. Go to the farmer's market. That's the other thing. We're starting to see all this fabulous stuff locally, finally. Our local farmers have been biting their nails because everything is late.
Yeah.
Because of the winter that we've had.
Yeah,
everything's late.
People have even canceled their CSAs, farmers have, because they just don't know when it's all going to be good, and they know that they can't deliver the, you know, 20 weeks that they promised or whatever.
Yeah.
That's really something.
But we are starting to see something other than salad greens and braising greens. Greens of all kinds, which are fabulous, but now I'm starting to see things like cauliflower.
Yes.
And summer squash and that kind of thing. So that gives me hope.
I went to the food web to the Thursday market, the third Thursday market, and it was like being in a rugby scrum.
You know, that first 90 minutes is just, you got to wear your knee pads and your helmet.
I'm going to have to beat some woman down to get to that kale.
Well, and the other thing is that we've been having that Thursday market indoors because of the really, really dismal weather.
Yeah.
And last Thursday was no exception.
Yeah.
So as soon as the sun comes out, we'll move. We'll have a little more elbow room.
Yep.
So I do want to invite you all to the River People Farmers Market, which is now once a month year round on the third Thursdays, and the way to find out about that is to go to northcoastfoodweb.org, all lowercase, all one word, northcoastfoodweb.org. Hey, I am inexplicably late in reminding you that you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org, on the web at No, on your mobile using the TuneIn app.
Yeah.
I can't believe I blew that after saying it 3,000 times.
Well, it's sort of like, and I have actually done this. I have like looked straight at this person, and you know how you do that and you can't remember her name, and I'm like, oh yeah, mom. I mean, it was my mother. It's just the same kind of thing, you know? Hey, I made something else that I really liked, and it's completely unrelated to anything else that I made.
We want to know.
It's, it was a recipe off the internet, Food 52's blog, but it was called Spicy Creamy Chickpeas and Spinach. So it was just like a Indian vegetarian stew, but it was really good. So it's just a garbanzo bean and spinach mushy thing, but it was delicious. And it has, you know, ginger and garlic and cumin, and it called for a garam masala.
Yes.
But I actually like tikka masala better. And so I just substituted it.
So tell us what the difference is. I have garam masala. I don't have tikka masala.
Okay. So to me, the tikka masala is more curry-y, and the garam masala is more clovey, uh-huh, earthy, sweetie. Uh-huh. And it's not that I don't like it. It's just I really, really, really like tikka masala. Like if I go to Pat's Pantry, I think that's my favorite thing she has. It was funny, and I was thinking about this. There's a book I bought. I think it's by Sally Silverman. Her name's really close to that. And it's called The Improvisational Cook, I think. Oh. And she tries to teach you how to be improvisational, which I think is an important thing in cooking.
Yes.
And so I got this recipe, and it calls for a serrano pepper, and I thought, you know, I don't want that hot. They have good flavor, but I just didn't feel like dealing with that hot. So I got this recipe off the internet, and then I decided, well, I haven't made it before, so I'm just going to make half of it because it calls for 30 ounces of chickpeas and,
oh, yeah,
and 2 boxes of frozen spinach. And I thought, you know, if I don't like it, that's just too much to waste or for the dogs to eat. And then I had a serrano pepper, but I didn't want something that hot, so I just chopped up half a poblano. And then it said to in the food processor, put the ginger and the garlic and the pepper and you make a paste. And I didn't want to get the food processor dirty so much. I didn't want to clean it, actually.
Hey, yeah. There is probably not a single person on the other end of the radio who hasn't felt that way.
Yeah, yeah. So I just chopped it up, and that was just fine. But it was so funny. I changed so many things, you know. But still, I think that what I made was pretty close to what was what the recipe was. But it's that ability just to not, when there's just one thing that's a little bit off in your kitchen, not to like not make it, but just to wing it and get around it. I think that's a good thing to have.
I think it's really excellent. And also, I think it is liberating for new cooks to realize that they can play with it a little bit.
But that's okay, like to get rid of that fear. And I was thinking about that last week because we were talking about convection ovens.
Yes.
And so, you know, somebody had asked us to talk about convection ovens. And then somebody else, when I met a woman who had bought a house here in Astoria, and the house had 3 ovens, and one of them was a one was a convection oven, but she hadn't used it because she said she hadn't done enough research on it. And same thing when we were talking to
John Stevenson, who does Lost Highways right after this.
Yeah, and he was the one that asked us to talk about convection ovens. But when we were done, he said, you know, I realized when he was talking that he was afraid his convection oven, that if they used the convection part of his oven, that it would wreck things. You know, that not knowing about the convection oven, he was afraid to use it because he thought it would wreck something. And I'm pretty confident saying that convection ovens, that they don't wreck anything, that everything, you know, it might turn out the same, which is just fine, but so many things are better. And if you have a convection oven, don't be afraid, you know, use it, and you'll see that things just cook more evenly if you're baking, and they cook a little faster, and that it just turns out better. But no, I don't think you can wreck anything.
No.
And it's the same thing, just that kind of that making you feel better about being afraid to do something. It's the same thing in switching things out. And then sometimes people, they get a little, you know, like a sense of freedom, and they're like, well, this calls for yogurt, I'm gonna use mayonnaise. Well, that doesn't work always, you know. Sometimes it might, or I'm gonna use, you know, spaghetti sauce, or, you know, especially in baking, you got to be careful. But whatever you make, it's gonna be your own, you know.
Yeah. And I also think that there's, well, first of all, that there's nothing that helps you learn faster than making a horrifying mistake.
Yes, yes.
So that's good. That's
and that's
useful.
What makes you good at something is you've made all the mistakes.
Yeah. And the other thing is that you have just as good a chance of inventing something fabulously new.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that going for it, and when you're just cooking, not baking, mm-hmm. You really have that freedom to just... it's jazz, you know. Mm-hmm. You get to make your own tune,
yeah,
with whatever you've got in there and in your fridge and in your pantry. Just go for it and make it your own. I think it's the joy of cooking. Mm-hmm.
And if you see a recipe and you don't want a serrano pepper, don't put it in there.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't look at a baking recipe and say I don't like baking powder. You can't do that. But
no.
But it won't work. But you can. You know, not put a pepper in there, or you know, if it calls for tomatoes and you don't want tomatoes, don't put them in there.
Yep. That's the thing. It makes it really pretty. I find it pretty exciting to just like open the fridge and go, what am I going to do with what's in there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. And I need to feel that way about my chicken thigh and leg. Either that or I'm going to overnight it to Dale. I can't decide which.
No. Make a salad.
Yeah, I can make a salad.
Yeah.
Or I
There's
can make
meat
a.
There.
I should have put it on the. I totally did a lazy thing last night because I've had a little bit of a cold. And so we had BLTs.
No, but that's really good.
I should have put it on there.
Yeah.
Then we could have had a club.
Yeah.
Well, could have, should have, would have. Anyway, I'm looking forward to peaches. I'm looking forward to sweet corn.
Yeah.
I know it's in the stores right now. I'm sorry. It's too soon.
Yeah.
And also, until we get it a little closer to home, mm-hmm. You know, corn is one of those things you really just have to get soon.
Yeah. I mean, coming from the middle of the continent, I mean, there's people that won't eat it the next day. I mean, it does change every day. I can't tell, you know, like... one day from the next, but I can tell 3 days from the next.
Yes.
I can tell 6 days from the next.
Yes.
And so it just, when it has so far to travel, you know that they're not flying that corn on a plane.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, shell peas the same way. Peas get starchy so fast.
You are right. I love peas. Hey, you know, in England they eat so much, not the split pea soup like we have here, but just fresh pea soup.
Yes.
You know, I need to make more of that.
I have a really good recipe for
that.
Yes, from my fabulous friend Gretchen Blissett. I am going to see. It may already be on the website,
okay.
But I will make sure it is if it isn't already. And I would direct all of you to northcoastfoodweb.org. When we say things are up on the website,
yeah.
That's where we're sending you, northcoastfoodweb.org.
Yeah, not
click
KMUN.
On the,
yeah.
Yeah. There's a dearth of recipes at coastradio.org.
Yeah.
But if you go to northcoastfoodweb.org, you can click on the recipe button and scan through there and see if anything floats your boat. And I also want to remind everybody that Food Talk comes your way from 9:30 to 10 on the first and third Mondays, and it is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. So any plans for this coming week?
No, I'm wondering, what's your favorite thing to do with peaches?
Oh, well, you know, fruit in general, my favorite thing to do is just eat it.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really like peach ice cream, fresh peach ice
cream.
Oh,
yeah, I haven't had that in decades.
Oh, man, when they're ripe and you make homemade ice cream, unbelievable.
Okay.
Then you can just, you know, take the freezer tub and lock yourself in the bedroom with a big spoon. That's all I'm saying. Just eat the whole thing. I really like peach shortcake. I really like peach pie with fresh peaches, which a lot of people I have discovered in years of pie making don't care that much for peach pie, but
no,
I really like it. I really do like it, especially like a peach blueberry pie or a peach raspberry pie. I really like it.
The reason I don't like it is, to me, it tastes like baby food when it's
cooked.
I love peaches, but it just tastes like baby food.
Because it gets mushy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about peach Melba? Peaches Melba.
I don't know that I've ever had it.
Oh, it's one of those flambé kind of deals. Oh, you know what? Next time we come, let's talk about lighting things on fire.
Okay.
Okay. It's a date.
So. It's why guys like to grill.
Let's talk about lighting things on fire tableside. Let's do. All of you out there, all 10 of you, now we're officially 10 fans, remind us that we're going to talk about flaming food next
Each one
time.
Of you has a finger.
Pick your favorite. Hey, it's 10 o'clock straight up, and coming up your way in 1 minute, NPR News headlines, and then John Stevenson is in the house, ready to bring you a couple hours of reliably fabulous music right up until the noon hour when fresh air comes your way. So it is my pleasure to remind you that you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org on your mobile using the TuneIn app. Linda Perkins, thank you so much.
Thank you. Remember to trade out your peppers.
Don't forget.